talking about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And I just want to take a couple of verses here and share a little bit about the significance of the Lord's Supper. And I don't normally use notes. I use outlines. But this week I've been, I guess, pondering why we observe the ordinance of the Lord's Supper and why it is so important. Of course, it's obvious. I mean, there's certain things that are very obvious. We believe in a literal body of Christ. He wasn't a phantom. He wasn't a ghost. He became man. God became man. I mean, it's a lot of deep theology to talk about God becoming a man, the incarnate God. But it happened. Jesus said it about Himself, that He was the God-man. He called Himself the Son of Man. So when we take the bread, and I may not mention it then, so I'll mention it now, we're remembering the body of Christ, this man who came and lived, right? And He lived perfectly. Do you understand what I'm saying? I want you to think about this. I'm going to use myself as an example. I've sinned enough today. This is Sunday, and I'm the preacher, right? And I've been in my office since 6 o'clock this morning. But I've sinned enough today in thoughts, attitudes. I've sinned enough to send all of us to hell and the rest of the world. That's the holy God that we serve. And Christ came. You know, when we think about celebrating why it's a table of remembrance, we're remembering that He came as the God-man and obeyed the Father perfectly. That's incredible, isn't it? One of the great doctrines that you talk about when you talk about salvation is the doctrine of depravity. See, we don't believe man was good. You inherited this. You're a descendant of Adam, and 1 Corinthians 15 says you were sick from day one, right? David says, my mother conceived me in iniquity. Now, he wasn't talking about the union of husband and wife being sinful. He was saying that when I was conceived, guess what I was? I was a wicked, mean, vicious, disobedient sinner. That's what I was in my mother's womb. And given enough time, coming into this world, we'll display it, right? Whether we're 6 months old, 3 months old, a year old, we display the sin nature. So we talk about, why Christ came, when we celebrate, He took our place. And so we celebrate the humanity and the broken body of Christ that, you know, He really meant when He said on the cross, it's finished. I mean, it was finished. Now, so He suffered in our place. But now the blood, He says it's the blood of the covenant. In a few minutes, Ryan's going to read some passages about that, but the blood of the covenant. Folks, I'm fixing to be 64. I was saved when I was 16, so it tells you how long I've been saved. But I still sin, okay? So knowing Christ is great, knowing that Christ lived a perfect life, and I believe that He's the Savior of the world, most of you, let's say, believe that, and you've been born again at some point in time, like I've been born again. The problem is, even though I've been born again, I still struggle with my old nature. Do you struggle with your old nature? And even though I've been set free, and Christ's righteousness was imputed to me historically, the problem is I still sin. But the covenant is the covenant in His blood, right? What can wash away my sin? It's His covenant in His blood. And so even though I sin, I don't want to sin, but I sin. That's the difference in being saved. Those aren't saved. Your nature is to sin. If you get saved, your nature is you don't want to sin, but you sin anyway. Paul says that in Romans 6. But the point is Romans 7. But so that's why we celebrate what we do. And here's the thing. You live your daily life not even thinking about that. What? And the Bible says Christ, who is your life, and you don't walk around every day thinking about the death, the substitutionary death, and the bloodletting that Jesus, we should. So that's why the Bible says it's a table of remembrance, because I'm going to tell you, I forget. I forget the value of the life of Christ and the death of Christ. So I made these thoughts. I usually don't do this, but let me read a couple of them to you, and then we'll look at the text. The person who ignores, and you could put a lot of phrases here. The person, and you may be one of those, the person who ignores the way, the truth, and the life. I mean, that's a way of saying Jesus is all you need, the way, the truth, and the life. If you ignore that, you will be vexed and troubled with temporal pursuits, okay, which the Bible says are passing away. You'll be vexed with temporal pursuits and will seldom be content with walking by faith or serving the body of Christ. Because another way that John put it, you'll fall in love with the world. And you can't have two masters. It's what Jesus said. You can't have two masters. So either you'll be in love with the world and forget Christ, or you'll love Christ. Now, when you put Christ on the throne, the world still bothers you. That's the battle that we face. Sinful pride that remains unchallenged through faithful participation in corporate worship. I was talking to a brother, an elder from another church this week, and we were talking about how corporate worship has changed since COVID, and we blame COVID. It's the devil, but we can blame COVID too. But our attendance and churches our size all over the world has changed how people come back to church. Well, you know, it's interesting. The Hebrews commands us to worship. And it also says, Hebrews 10:25, it says, this is a command, do not forsake the assemblings of yourselves together as the matter of some are. And then it says, especially as you see the day approaching. And the day is the coming of the day of the Lord, not the Sunday. I'm talking about the coming of Christ. Can I ask you, do you see the day approaching? Do you see it? Yeah. The newspaper, whatever news channel you watch, whoever you listen to, it's like living in the book of Revelation or the book of Daniel. I mean, we're right on top of the cusp of Christ coming back. So that should be even a greater reason that we want to be assembled together with believers. So I wrote down, if our pride keeps us from participating in corporate worship, we'll soon decide that the Christian disciplines and spiritual devotions become unimportant and inconvenient. So what we're doing here is just not something we think is important. The divine majesty of Calvary exposes my vile imperfections. And I think Christ had to die to set me and you free, right? So Calvary, or in Aramaic, Golgotha, and it does look like a skull, and it's not that far from the Garden Tomb. One day you're going to go with me over there, and Calvary, Mount Calvary, looks like a place of a skull. But Calvary exposes my violence, that God conquered death. You know, he couldn't die, but he died in our place as a man because we're vile. So what I wrote down is, the divine majesty of Calvary exposes my vile imperfections, yet it compels my highest devotions. I mean, a lot of us wear ornate crosses or wear crosses because it's not just jewelry, is it? Life is about what Christ did on that cross. We gather at His table to remember the depths of His love. And we find out we studied this a little bit this past Wednesday night, the reason we love, real love is defined by God's love for us. And we love, what the Bible teaches is, as believers, we love one another because He first loved us. And so now I can love you in Christ because Christ's love has changed my heart. This morning, coming by divine invitation, we feed on Christ's sinless life and celebrate His perfect atoning sacrifice. So He'll say, "This is my body." So He's the bread of life. So we eat it and we think about I need to live like Jesus. I have His Spirit in me. He feeds. I need to feed on His life. This calls me to surrender to that. And I read this. This is not mine. I read this week, and I thought it was. If you don't remember much, do remember this. 7 words that'll change your life. And John the Baptist said it. 7 words. John 3:30 says, "He must increase, but I must decrease." Well, folks, if we observe the table correctly, this table should do that. It should make us realize how insignificant you are and how great He is as our Savior. Amen? Now, your Bible's open to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And I just want you to see, look at verse 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 14. Now, folks, I want you to know, I'm going to give you an illustration, and I don't want to get in a whole discussion about this show, but the show called The Chosen. Don't even tell me if you've watched it, if you love it, whatever. I don't care about whether you like it or not, but there's a show or a series called The Chosen. I don't know if I've watched one of them, but there's a big debate about some of its consistencies, but let's just move past that. I was reading some summaries about how people respond to The Chosen. Now, I don't know the guy's name that plays Jesus. I don't know what it is. He's a movie star. Who knows? But I was looking at some quotes from people who watch The Chosen. And this is some of the quotes. Several people said, especially girls, ladies, they said, "When I think of Jesus, my mind thinks about," let's say his name is Fred Joe. Fred Joe, whatever his name is, that plays the role of Christ. And you with me? All these statements, but "When I think of Jesus, I think about Fred, who plays Jesus. That's who I think about." Now, what's the problem with that? How about the first and second commandments? You're violating the first two commandments, right? So we can come take these elements and miss the whole point. You with me? I don't want you. So it doesn't save, right? In a minute, the deacons are going to pass this. We're going to hold the bread, hold the cup, take the bread, drink the cup. You can leave here and miss everything about what this stands for, and I don't want that to happen. But every time I do this, I realize why the Bible tells us we have to confess. We need to confess our sins, or we're going to take it in an unruly manner. We don't want to do that. We take it frivolously. Folks, to think about the blood, the body and the blood of Jesus should bring us to repentance. Am I right? It should, one of the words that's kind of, it should gut us, so to speak. It gut us and grieve us for who we are and what Christ did, and then we love Him. So He says, "Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry." That's what made me think about that show. "I speak as to sensible people. Judge for yourselves what I say. The cup of blessing that we bless," and we did the Passover with the juice for Jesus not long ago, and He talked about this cup, right? We went through the whole Passover. Wonderful. He even looked like Jesus, didn't he? Am I right? Huh? And from over here from Israel and Jews for Jesus, it was incredible. Great people. And the cup of blessing that we bless, which tells us that it was the third cup that He's using when He institutes the Lord's Supper, and it's called the cup of blessing. "The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ?" Now, we don't believe in transubstantiation, which it's believed by some that it actually becomes the blood of Jesus and you get saved by doing this, right? We don't believe in that. But we do understand that it represents the substitutionary, the blood of Christ. It's a covenant. He's saying, this is the new covenant in my blood. So it's representing what he came to do. So anyway, the cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? And then he says, because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. So one of the things this does, it should bring unity, right? Well, I'm going to make this up, but let's say you're in here and you got a spur in your saddle because Sissy 3 weeks ago sat in your seat in Sunday school and you've been mad about it for 3 weeks. Well, when you sit down and think about the Lord Jesus, you realize that becomes pretty... Is that not petty? Isn't 99% of the stuff we harbor in our hearts just petty compared to Christ? Just petty. Petty. So that's why Peter argues, just forgive it in love. You covered in love. Just let it go. And then Paul argues, you know, you'll offend Jesus every moment of your life and won't repent, but if somebody offends you just a little smidgen, you'll get all bent, slap out of shape. Well, we know that if you do that, you're not walking with the Lord, right? Or when you do it, you obviously have gone from walking in the Spirit to walking in the flesh. Now, I'll tell you, personally for me, I can do that in a drop of a hat, right? I can be singing hymns. Diane and I got tied up. She's not in here, so I can say it. I was online. I was reading something at the house. I was being all pastor stuff, looking at scripture, whatever. And she said something that just... And so about an hour later, I'm in there saying, honey, I am so sorry. I act like a fool. And I did act like a fool, right? Because we just have this seat of sin. We're idolaters. And so... But here, for us, it should bring unity. Just let it, whatever it is. If somebody's hurt your feelings, if I hurt your feelings today, like I didn't speak to you or whatever, you got sick and I didn't call you, just let it go. It's not worth harboring. But anyway, because there's one bread, think of the bread we're all eating, our sustaining us is Christ. Christ, He sustains me and He sustains you. Then he says, consider the people of Israel. Are not those who eat the sacrifices participants in the altar? And here's his point. They may not have been there when the bull's throat was slit, right? They may not have been there when the goats, they may have been way back in the crowd and couldn't see it. Whatever it might be. But they participate in that. Sometimes they'll eat the meat. Sometimes the blood would be, the priest would take it on a hyssop branch and, he would scatter it among the people. But it wouldn't reach all the people in the back. It just reached the... But the point would be, are we not all participants? Well, if you're born again, yes, you are a participant in the body and in the blood of Jesus Christ. This is what saves you. But not only this is what saves you, this is what makes the church His body. This is why we're one body. And so Paul's arguing that, hey, we all have partaken of the one bread, the life of Christ imputed to me, makes me perfect, the blood of Christ paid the price, atoned for my sins. I'm no different than you. So there's no difference in the body. So this is why when the Bible says this is a table of remembrance, we need to remember this. Now let me send you to one more passage. And this, I'm going to make it apply because it's one of those things I read this week and it just fired me up because I've never seen it like this. Go to Philippians 2. Deacons, if you're going to serve, I know this is a little informal, but I'm going to invite my men who are going to serve to come on down front. Just come on while I'm finding. I'm in Philippians. Philippians 2. So if you're going to be serving the elements of the Lord's Supper, let me remind you in a few minutes when we start passing, come on, stand with me, guys. When we pass it, obviously the way the crowd is today, help us. So you may have to get up and move the plate down so we can get it done. But I'm reading out of, that's all right. Yeah, won't you? That's all right. Well, I'm so thin, you block me. But I'm in Philippians chapter 2. And of course, this is the self, this is talking about the humility of Christ. So when you think about the body, the bread, God emptied Himself. You know, He gave up certain things to become as the God. He's the Son, eternal Son, but He came as Jesus Christ and He gave up certain things. He even says He did. And if you know John 17, He mentions, He said, I want my disciples to see me and my glory, the glory I had before I came to earth. It just reminds us He's eternal. So it's talking about His self-emptying. But just follow, I've read this seriously, probably 500 times. But it struck me as being incredibly, when you think about this. So, verse 4. I'm in Philippians 2, 4. And then we're going to think about the body and blood. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. It means he didn't just say, that's the only way I'm going to hold on to it. He emptied himself. That's where they get the word. Have you ever heard the word kenosis? That comes from the Greek word keno. Kenosis, empty. But he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant. This is God coming to earth. There's never been a servant like that. Being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death. So he became a man. He surrendered to death. And then it says, even death on what? On a cross. There's many other ways in your mind, in my mind, God could have chosen for his son to die. But the most brutal way of execution is what the Father chose for the Son, because we're ugly sinners. And that's the kind of judgment we deserve. He didn't deserve it, did he? No. Therefore, look what it says, you read in your Bibles. Therefore, God has highly exalted him. So we're going to humble him. And bestowed on him the name that is above every name. So that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth. And what? Under the earth. Under the earth. Maybe it's talking about hell. But this just, I know this. When we studied, we know things go on and there's all these conspiracies, but the thing is, whatever's under the earth, guess who's Lord of it? Jesus. Something's going on there, right? But who's king? He's earth and where? Folks, that's being Lord. He's Lord of it all, right? But is he Lord of you? That's the question. Let's pray. Father, help us in these moments to examine, to confess, and to rejoice in what Christ has done. In Jesus' name, amen. Like I mentioned, we're going to pass the bread, then we'll pass the cup, and then we'll eat them together. Thank you. You can serve it. Thank you, guys. And help us out. Unleavened bread. It's unleavened bread. Because leaven was sinfulness, and we remove sin at Passover, and so Jesus was without sin. We always love it because it's His table. We're humbled that the Lord brings us to His table, and it's a table of remembrance. Listen, I'm alive because Christ is in me. His substitutionary death has applied to me already, but this is a table of remembrance. I'm remembering what I already have. And it should move me to a life of obedience, or greater obedience. You don't mind, Ryan, where'd you go? Would you read, I'm going to let Ryan read the passage, the first one about the bread. I'm going to get him to read the whole verse about the bread. I don't know if you ever pay attention. Most of the time when I do this, before we serve the Lord's Supper, even though these are little pieces of bread, you'll watch me, I break some of it. Because it's just the symbolism that Christ, the whole reason He came, was for His body to bear the punishment of our sin. Who needs? Is that you? You need, okay. Yeah. I'm afraid I'm gonna drop it. Thank you, sir. Thank you, guys. If you remember when the first blood was shed in the Bible, and most people remember, can say that. Where was it? It was in the Garden of Eden. When Adam and Eve had sinned, and that's why the Bible says we sin in Adam. He's the first man. We're all descendants of Adam. We sin in Adam. That's what the Bible says. And Jesus said that. But to cover their sin, they used fig leaves. I'm always covering myself with fig leaves, spiritually. You know what I'm saying? You try to ignore it. You try to act like you didn't do it. You think it'll, you know, I'll just get better by chance, and it doesn't happen. So fig leaf. And so he, because fig leaves are going to get rotten and fall off. So he had to slay an animal because there was animal skins, and we believe that they saw that. I wasn't there, but it seems as if they somehow understood that this skin that they're wearing that covers their nakedness took the blood of an animal, a substitute. And so that was the first bloodletting of the Bible. And you know, that's why the New Testament can say without the shedding of blood, nothing else covers sin. So when we, in a moment, we have the bread, let's celebrate the cup. Even though I'm a Christian, I've been saved, born again, Spirit-filled, you are too if you repented and believed, but I still sin, but that blood takes care of that. Atoning, sacrifice, He redeems me, all these words we use to talk about what Christ's blood does. We talk about redemption, He buys us out of the slave market of sin. It's a profound thing. After I serve you guys, y'all can go sit down. Okay. Ryan, while I'm doing this, read the passage about the cup. It's Matthew 26, right?
Yes, sir.
Amen. I'm going to ask you to go ahead and stand. Let's all stand together. Guys, y'all can be seated. Thank you. Just put it back if you don't mind. We sing a little chorus sometimes. We'll just do it a cappella. Oh, the cross of Jesus. Oh, the blood. Oh, the cross of Jesus. His death brings life to me. Oh, the cross of Jesus. Oh, the cross of Jesus. Oh, the cross of Jesus. His death brings life to me. four different places it talks about this. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, and there's one former disciple that wasn't present. Judas. And Judas was gone. He's betraying him. Jesus takes that piece of bread, and he said, "This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Pure, undefiled, sinless Son of God. One of my favorite Bible words in the original languages is what it says, "It is finished." The word is tetelestai. Paid in full is another way you could translate it. It is finished. It is paid in full. Jesus took that third cup. By the way, was this the last cup of the event? No. There's a fourth cup, right? When did he say he's going to celebrate that with us? That's right, on the other side, right? He said, let's sing about the blood. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. He took the cup and said, "This is the covenant of my blood." And all God's people said, amen. Let's pray together. Father, we love you and thank you for the table, for our hearts being challenged over your holiness, your sacrifice, our sinfulness. And Lord, by your grace and mercy, how you've made us your children. We've been adopted into the family of God and receive all the blessings that Christ earned. We love you and thank you for this table in Jesus' name. Amen. Men, join me in the choir loft just for a minute. I even finished 9 minutes early. You can't complain about that.